Karen G. Johnston writes, "As we gather this morning, let us be a people of not forgetting. Let us practice holding collective memories that might otherwise slip into that enormous void that sucks at and corrodes any future we hold dear. Let us practice honoring truth-telling up from the past that must come fully into the now, lest we falter and fail, lest the whole remain in pieces. Let not our need for comfort or simplicity, for easy forgiveness or false pardon, smother the heartbreak that still needs healing. Let us practice resilience with reckoning. Let us marry memory and promise. Let us dance in the tension we find there. Let us rest in the integrity we cultivate there. Let us be partners with the possibility that emerges there. Let us be a people of not forgetting." Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry. My pronouns are she, her. And no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life in this church and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Amen. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to the nursery. And summer godly play. Yes, we are talking about summer already. After the word for all ages. Just one quick announcement this morning. Yesterday was the Pharmathon in Natick to support the Guatemala Project, one of the things that our church, as well as the church in Needham, do together to support San Maria Tseja, this village in Guatemala. Yesterday, there were 19 people at the Pharmathon, which is awesome, including Declan. So it's like there were 29 people there, because anytime Declan's there, he's like 10 people. There are still opportunities to sponsor that farm work. We're still taking pledges for that farm work. So if you're on site, you can see Jeff. There's Jeff. He has what?
I have a little card.
We talked about this.
I know, but you can get it downstairs from me.
Okay. So you can get this card from Jeff downstairs during coffee hour, or if you're watching from home, contact me or the church office and we'll get you more information. This is a very nice card, Jeff. You did a good job. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light." The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning. My name is Doug. My pronouns, when I can speak, are he and him. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Please join me in the call to worship. And your response is, "God of love, free us from our fear." Sometimes it feels like the world is a terrible place. God of love, free us from our fear. We start to believe all the bad news. God of love, free us from our fear. We forget that we are all made in your image. God of love, free us from our fear. Remind us of our beauty, our power, our belovedness. God of love, free us from our fear. Amen. Our opening hymn is "We Are Walking," number 366. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit, or both. Thank you. All right, we're all seated. Our scripture passage this morning, which you'll hear in a few minutes, tells the story of a person believed to be possessed by demons. It's often assumed that this person was actually struggling with mental illness and that their community just didn't understand them or didn't know how to care for or support them. 2,000 years later, we certainly know a lot more about mental illness and well-being and the various ways that our brains can work. And yet, too often, communities still don't seem to know how to support individuals struggling with mental health issues or people whose brains work differently than what we have decided is normal. As a religious community, it's so important that we can share our challenges and differences with each other, knowing that we will be respected, honored, and supported. Our centering prayer this morning is by Reverend Dr. Sarah Lund, the UCC's Minister for Disabilities and Mental Health Justice. Another reason to love the UCC, that we have a Minister for Disabilities and Mental Health Justice. We'll begin with a moment of silence. Such silence can be scary as our brains start to skitter off all in a million different directions. But keep breathing deeply, trusting that wherever your brain goes, God is there. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the hope of a new day and a fresh start. We give thanks for the reminder that it's okay to not be okay, and that it's better to tell the truth about what's really going on for us and get support and help than to suffer in silence and alone. We thank you, God, that you never give up on us, even when we feel like giving up on ourselves. We thank you that we can hold on to hope one day at a time. We are grateful for this faith community where we can experience sacred welcome, inclusion, support, and engagement for mental health. Bless us with the power of your Spirit that is holy as we share your love with others in our mission to end the stigma and shame of mental illness. In the name of the disabled and neurodiverse God, we pray, as Jesus taught us, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So on January 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, and it declared that all persons held as slaves are and henceforth shall be free. President Lincoln declared it, but that doesn't mean that everybody heard it. It wasn't until 2 years later, June 19th, 1865, that Union General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, to inform enslaved African Americans that the Civil War had ended and that they were free. On Juneteenth, this coming Thursday, we remember those enslaved people finally hearing the truth declared. They are whole people, precious and free. We aren't sent from the government to declare the end of a war and the freedom of all people, but God does send us into the world to proclaim to each other that we are not alone. We are held and protected by God's peace. And it's true that the world will little note nor long remember what we say here, to quote Lincoln's words. Nonetheless, our words do have the power to set each other free. So with our whole beings, we proclaim to each other, God's peace be with you.
peace, go in hope. What a wonderful lyric for the last choir anthem of the program year. It's been so wonderful, particularly wonderful to work with our interim music director, Elaine Smith Purcell. Elaine is finishing up her time with us as interim music director. And instead, she is becoming our permanent music director. We are so delighted that Elaine has accepted the call to do ministry with us at FCC Natick. She will be off for much of the summer and beginning her permanent position with us in the fall. Thank you, Elaine, and the music team for all the help. Okay.
Well, that's exciting. Welcome, Elaine. All right. Relatively settled. So, our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke. This morning's passage is in the middle of Jesus' ministry. He and his disciples have been preaching and teaching and healing all along one side of the Sea of Galilee. But now they get into a boat and cross over to the other side. And that's the area that has more Gentiles than Jews. And this is, in Luke, Jesus' first encounter with a Gentile community. This passage that we're going to hear tells the story of a man who people believed was possessed by demons, as I was saying earlier. Who knows what is happening with him? As we've already mentioned, it's common to see this behavior as a sign of mental illness. In part, we come to that interpretation because, of course, we don't believe in demons today. We're sure that's just the stuff of horror movies. But on the other hand, most of us certainly can relate to wrestling with thoughts or behaviors or beliefs that we know aren't good for us, but we just can't get rid of them. They just seem to have such power over us. So with that in mind, hear these words from Luke 8, 26 through 39. Then Jesus and the disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, the man had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times, it had seized the man. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged Jesus not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding. We're in Gentile land. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. And then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. And then all the people of the surrounding country of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with a great fear. So Jesus got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So the man went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and the wisdom to live them.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Okay, so there are lots of weird things in that story, and we don't have time to talk about them all today, but this is one of my favorite passages, so don't worry, it'll come up again. But for me, the weirdest thing this morning is Scripture says that after Jesus got rid of the man's demons, the people were afraid. Now they were afraid. Not before, when the guy was running all over and could break. Then they were afraid. Why were the people afraid? Why would they be afraid of Jesus after he healed the man? Well, I think there's a bunch of reasons. One is we're afraid of what we don't understand. And they didn't understand how Jesus was able to do that. So that was scary for them. I think we also can be afraid of power. Like, this man had been suffering for a long time, and finally someone came in who could help him. That's a lot of power, so that also might have been scary for people. We're also afraid of change. We get used to things being the way they are. They were all used to the man being a little bit in trouble on the edge of the village, so change is scary. Change is scary because it takes us into things we don't know what's going to happen, where we can be vulnerable, where things can happen to us that we don't expect. And there's loss. We lose things that are familiar to us, and that's just hard. Maybe the people were afraid about what Jesus might do next. If he'd already gotten rid of the man's demons, what was he going to do next? Maybe they were worried that next he would look at them and see their demons and change them too. Well, then what would happen? Maybe it would impact their family. Maybe if they got rid of some of their demons, their family wouldn't like them anymore. Maybe it would impact their job. Maybe their demons were part of what helped them do their job, so maybe they would lose their job. That's so scary. No wonder the people wanted Jesus to go away so they could hang on to their demons for a little bit longer. Maybe you would also worry about what Jesus would see if he looked right at you, what parts of you think might be a bit broken and bruised. Don't worry. Jesus just sees all your belovedness the way God made you, and that will never change. Amen. As our kids get ready to go off to godly play, we send them with a blessing. God of all life and love, take these beloved children into a place of community and hope. May they know each day the way you are part of their lives. Amen. Have fun in godly play. Our second reading is an excerpt of a poem written by Reverend Vanessa Tatang, who's an African-American pastor. She lives in Maine, and she witnessed a blessing given to a community in Maine on Juneteenth, 2022, and she wrote this blessing in response to that. The world has fallen apart. Though this is not the first time, it is just one of the times where it is all too much, intentionally crafted by mortal powers that be, not ordained by divinity. Weakened, but not dead, I remind myself. And yesterday, I was again reminded of ancestors who've been tasked similarly. What is next? What do I do now? When my back has been given far too much weight to bear, when the final straw is placed, let us not forget, never forget, this moment or all that has brought us here in time and space. Remembering past, present, and that we are not done. This is always just beginning. We are our ancestors' wildest dreams. May we be our descendants' bravest heroes, keepers of the flame, knowing we are the ones we have been waiting for. Thus, let's go. Amen. When a particular community of Buddhists in California gather together on Halloween, they each take a turn stepping up to an altar. They light a stick of incense. Then they call forth their own personal demons by name. One calls out self-indulgence, another arrogance. Others call out selfishness, laziness, fear. After calling forth these personal demons, each member promises to protect and comfort the demons who answer the call to join them. They invite those demons to eat and chat with them in the safe place they are creating together. That's a different approach, huh? Instead of exorcising demons, sending them into pigs, and drowning them into the sea, the Buddhist community invites the demons to lunch. They treat the demons like guests, meeting them face to face rather than avoiding them or trying to send them away. Now, okay, the Buddhist demons are metaphorical. Parts of themselves they don't like, behaviors that hold them back, attitudes that keep them from being their best selves. I guess arrogance and selfishness don't have the same impact on your life as a demon that makes you strong enough to break chains and sends you running naked into the woods. On the other hand, what looks like demon possession in one generation is understood as women being simply strong and independent in another, and what's labeled as mental illness in one community is revealed to be God's diverse approach to gender and sexuality in another. So I'm just thinking, maybe we shouldn't be so quick to try to get rid of our demons, even if all our demons are metaphorical. Maybe we have something to learn from them, and they'll keep coming back until we do. Or maybe we have something to teach them, and they will nag us until we work with them. Richard Rohr says that in the spiritual life, nothing goes away. There is no heavenly garbage dump. It's all here, wherever we are. Everything belongs. Even our demons do not go away. He quotes Robert Bly, who said, "You don't get rid of demons, you just educate them." Maybe if we can face our demons, they and we can be transformed. In this morning's scripture reading, Jesus asks the demon, "What is your name?" The demon answers, "Legion." Now, the demon packs a lot into that name. Legion is a group of Roman soldiers, about 7,000 of them. So legion is declaring their strength, but also their allegiance with the powers that be, the Roman occupiers. Legion also had, at that point, come to mean just a lot. So legion is also letting everyone know that there isn't just one of them in there, it's a whole crowd. Personally, I'm not surprised that there was a legion's worth of demons just in that one guy. I think I have at least 8 different demons that plague me, and I still managed to stay dressed, so it must have taken a lot of demons to chase that guy naked into the woods. My demons, with names like insecurity, envy, depression, self-righteousness, when I invite these demons to come chat with me, they will probably brawl with each other if I'm not careful. And of course, not all demons are personal, just making one life miserable. Sometimes it feels like we are that herd of pigs, all overwhelmed by demons together. In our country, one of the most insidious demons goes by the name of racism, and it has sent so many of us off a cliff to self-destruction. I am racist. I carry racist ideas and impulses within me. Growing up a white person, breathing in the culture of white supremacy, I have benefited hugely from racist structures, and I hold unconscious bias. I'm seeking to be anti-racist, learning and growing and advocating for policies and perspectives that produce and sustain racial equity. But I understand that for me, it's a lifelong journey. Throughout this country's history, we've had times where we told ourselves that we had sent the demon of racism into the pigs and we were free. After all, chattel slavery ended. Hey, we made Jim Crow illegal. A black man was elected president twice. We kept waving at the herd of pigs running over the cliff while the demons just crept back in through another path. So maybe let's stop trying to exorcise the demon of racism. Stop trying to deny it, pretending it doesn't exist. Let's invite it in. Let it sit across the table from us. Meet it face to face. See what it has to teach us. Explore what we can teach it. Instead of trying to get rid of the demon of racism, let's transform it. Let's listen to that demon, how it is filled with so much fear, terrified of losing power. Maybe it can learn that power can be shared, that there is abundance in this world if we stop clutching so hard. Maybe sitting down with the demon of racism, facing it head on, we can help turn it in a different direction. Maybe it can become one of the better angels of our nature. The current presidential administration has made it harder for schools and businesses and some nonprofits to engage with the demon of racism, but that has no bearing on us as individuals or a church, at least not yet. And since it's harder for some places to learn from that demon, it's more important than ever that we do so where we can. Along with all the other demons that plague us, from community challenges like transphobia and white Christian nationalism to the more personal demons that make us think we are worthless and useless, let's take a meeting with the demons that torture us one at a time, but not alone. Remember those wise Buddhists in California? Gather all together before inviting their demons into the room. They work together to make the space safe for demons and Buddhists alike. In the same way, let's help each other face our demons. Not alone, naked in the wild, but together, in community, with the God of healing by our side. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your joys and concerns aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. We hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Jen. He was there?
Yeah, I'm doing a
profession,
and it was only a week.
Wow.
Yeah, he's an amazing
little
man.
We have been holding in prayer 3.5-year-old Rupert, who has been living with a cancer diagnosis. He had surgery for the cancer just over a week ago, a 9.5-hour surgery. They got the biggest tumor out. He's not done, but last night he was dancing in the light of God. So we celebrate that. Thanks, Jen. Dave, did I see your hand? Robbie turns 2 today. Today? Happy birthday to Robbie. And Ned turns 5 on Tuesday. Boy, those birthdays are right. Can you just combine it in one party? You cannot. I'm sorry. Tuesday's a big day for Ned. Not only is he turning 5, he's also graduating from pre-K. Wow. Thanks, Dave. Gail, do you have any joys up there? I have a couple down here. So our... Pam wants to wish a happy Father's Day to everyone in the congregation who fathers and all people who father. And also we hold in prayer those for whom this might be a hard day if they've lost their dad in the last year or have struggles with their dad. We hold all of that in our prayers this morning. The West Virginia Work Camp is on their way to West Virginia, so we'll hear about their experiences next Sunday in worship. That's a joy on our list today. It is such a joy to have our heart patients, both of them, here today, both Steve and Deb, looking so good. You've done such a good job taking care of each other. It is a joy to see you both. Yeah, Deb, what else? Today, those beautiful hearts celebrate 51 years of wedded bliss. Happy anniversary. So happy for you. I have one more joy on my list, and it's just the thousands of peaceful protests around the country yesterday, one of my joys as well. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Sarah Beth. Yeah, how old are her kids? Really young. So last week we were praying for one of Sarah Beth's friends, Chelsea, whose battle with cancer was not going well. And indeed, Chelsea died shortly after those prayers. We trust that our prayers carried her with joy from this life to the next one. And so now our prayers turn to her family, including her 2 young boys. We hold them. We surround them in our prayers as well. Thanks, Sarah Beth. Linda. Lorraine had another little fall this week, so our prayers are going to her for quick healing. Thanks, Linda. Beth.
Little Jeff, Amy, and all of Gian's family, Gian passed away very unexpectedly, and his fiance, her life is just, her life is very much lost in me right now.
We hold in our prayers Gian's family, in particular Gian's fiance, Amy. Instead of getting ready to plan a life together, she found him that he had died. So we hold all of them in our prayers. Thanks, Beth. Sarah Beth. So we're holding Minnesota in our prayers, not only after there have been terrible murders, but also fear in that community. Yeah, I also have on my list this morning the war between Israel and Iran. Our prayers continue to ripple around the world. Yeah, Peg. Gwen. We're holding in our prayers Linda M., who also had a fall at home this past week, and she's recovering at home, but we send prayers for healing to her as well. Thanks, Gwen. Gail, do you have any concerns up there? I have a couple more. We are holding in our prayers Joe. This is Beth O's brother. She is in Maine. Joe has been diagnosed with melanoma and has a PET scan coming up, so prayers in this time of unknowing. And also, we've been praying for Karen T's Uncle Doug and Aunt Carol after Doug entered hospice. Doug died this past week, so now our prayers turn particularly to the family supporting them in this grief. Our prayer this morning is by Tom Sherman. Let's pray. Living God, when every day seems the same, with no one listening to our dreams, our hopes, our fears, and worries, you pause, God the listener, turning your head so you can read our lips. When every road seems the same, filled with despair's potholes, spoiled by pain's litter, you come alongside us, God the guide, pointing out that side road that will take us to the grassy spot beside the water. When every step trips us up, when every loss weighs us down, when every grief breaks our heart, you come, God the companion, and give us your strong arm to lean on. When everyone ignores us, when everything disappoints us, when we have just about given up, you walk with us. You refuse to abandon us, and we are never alone. Amen. Mentioned earlier, the church program year is coming to a close, which meant today was the last Sunday for our choir, and they begin their summer break next week. But planning for the fall has already started, as you heard. I'm so grateful to the volunteers and staff who make choir music possible in this church, giving their time and talents week after week. I'm also grateful to you. Without your financial support, we wouldn't be able to buy music, or have a section leader, or tune the instruments, or have an interim turned permanent music director, making it all come together. So, thank you. We will consider you honorary members of the choir due to your generosity, and if you'd like to become an actual member of the choir, we would welcome that too. Just see Elaine, who will now bless us with more music during the offertory as we participate in the spiritual discipline of giving.
Thank you.
God of love, bless these gifts. May they help us to make music in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is often referred to as the Black National Anthem. Here's how Reverend Dr. Yvonne Delk from the UCC describes the hymn. The words, written by James Weldon Johnson in 1900, were a mandate that would center and anchor a people living and existing in a system designed to dehumanize and deny their essential worth and value as persons. The words were a call to hold on and hold out in the context of the day-to-day reign of terror experienced in lynchings, Jim Crow laws, and a legal system of separation designed to deny them their full humanity and to keep them enslaved and oppressed. The ability to survive and persevere, as well as the courage to resist oppression, would be centered in the call to stay true to our God and true to our native land. We sing it this morning as a country of justice and equity is still a future goal. Amen. Please be seated. Beloved, whereas on this 15th day of June in the year of our Lord, 2025, these words are proclaimed in your hearing to wit. All persons are beautiful and beloved children of God, precious gifts to each other and to creation. Now, therefore, these beautiful children are called to recognize that belovedness in themselves and others. And by the virtue of that belovedness, all people shall seek to grow in their own understanding and repair of their bruised and broken places so that they might live whole and holy lives. And I further declare and make known that as a community, we shall seek and serve justice and peace in our gatherings, our halls of power, and our very own hearts, that we might build the beloved community over these United States of America and all the earth. Amen.